It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it's August, and there's still time for summer fun. We'll highlight some of the great events, activities, and destinations to check out around Wisconsin before summer comes to a close. First, the impeachment probe into sexual harassment claims against Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York is nearing an end. Today, lawmakers in the New York State Assembly said Cuomo has till the end of next week to submit evidence in his defense. The development follows a report from New York's Attorney General's office this week. It shows that Cuomo harassed 11 women and created a toxic work environment for women. On Tuesday, Cuomo insisted he had done nothing wrong.
I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. I am 63 years old. I have lived my entire adult life in public view. That is just not who I am. And that's not who I have ever been.
Meanwhile, Cuomo faces calls to resign from political figures, including President Biden and other top Democrats in New York and around the country. Cuomo's latest high-profile political figure to be caught up in a sexual harassment or assault investigation. Others include former Presidents Trump and Clinton, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, former Minnesota Senator Al Franken, and former Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Governor Cuomo of New York should step down? Should he be impeached if he does not? What do you think will come out of this? How does the case against Cuomo stack up against those of other elected leaders in recent years? And why do you think some politicians are able to survive accusations or scandals and others don't? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laura Brown is an associate professor and the director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. She's the author of multiple books, including her most recent Amateur Hour, Presidential Character, and The Question of Leadership. She studies political scandals. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here today.
What are your thoughts on this specific case now with Governor Cuomo in New York and the state attorney general's civil investigation?
Well, I think what's truly unfortunate about this case seems to be something that has been a more recent development in these political scandals. And it is that the politician in question is not, they appear to not have any shame. There is no sort of public apology. There is no admission of guilt. And with that, as we have seen in the past, there are usually resignations. While, you know, we can get into some of the specifics about some of the individuals you mentioned, it is the case that just in the recent history of the U.S. Congress and in the wake of the Me Too movement, we saw a number of members of Congress get wrapped up in sexual harassment scandals. They admitted their wrongdoing and they did resign or retire from their position. That is not the kind of stance that Governor Cuomo is taking. And I think that is one of the most tragic developments in our democratic republic.
Often when we have accusations of sexual harassment against a political figure, it's something that comes out in the media and there are accusations. A politician can try to dismiss it. Oh, it's a I said, they said sort of thing. Here we have the attorney general of the state doing this extensive investigation, as I mentioned, civil, not criminal investigation, but having a lot of details, a lot of corroborations of these accusations. Does that make this different in your mind than other cases we've seen where we might not have seen that level of investigation?
Well, certainly I think it makes it different. We have a substantial amount of credible evidence of wrongdoing and potential illegalities. You know, we have various jurisdictions in the state of New York that are looking into possible criminal charges. Much of the time when we're talking about what generally us in political science think of as sexual misconduct scandals, many of those have been consensual extramarital affairs. And those fall into a slightly different category than something that is, in fact, potentially illegal and certainly problematic for the workplace itself.
Talking to Laura Brown from George Washington University, looking at Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, an investigation into multiple accusations of sexual harassment. Now we have, as you say, Laura, at least at this point, he seems to be digging in. Governor Cuomo does, not making any indication that he's thinking about resigning. No talk about whether he's going to run again for governor, as had previously been expected. It may be out of his hands, though, a possibility of impeachment in New York State. Can you talk about that possibility? Fellow Democrats willing to get on board, it looks like, with the idea of impeachment.
Well, I think the Democrats are taking the right stance. The reality of impeachment is that it is a political decision. And by political, we do not mean just partisan. What we mean is that it is about whether or not somebody is fit to hold office. You know, some of the conversation around impeachment always assumes that there has to be a breaking of the law, but that is not the case. When we talk about impeachment, we are talking about an elected official's moral authority, the perception of the wrongdoing or the transgression, and whether or not that person should be in a position where they have power and they are entrusted with the public good, right? So I think one of the things that is, to the Democrats' credit in New York is that they are saying this kind of behavior, even if it is not illegal, it still rises to the level of serious wrongdoing, and we should take a look at what Governor Cuomo has done, and he is, if judged not fit to hold office, he will be removed from office in a trial after the assembly would impeach.
Well, you mentioned prominent political figures from New York. Here's one of them, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who is from New York, saying here Cuomo needs to step down. Here's a listen.
No elected official is above the law. The people of New York deserve better leadership in the governor's office. We continue to believe that the governor should resign.
Can you talk, Laura, about what we've seen over the years when it comes to the partisan response to these accusations? The temptation, I think, if you're a Republican, sometimes might be to take the side of your embattled Republican colleague. Same for Democrats, for a Democrat. Have we seen that change over time?
Well, what we have seen change over time is the nationalization of the scandal and how that nationalization of the scandal then becomes about the party's brand at sort of a larger level. So the reputation of the political party now seems to be on the line as much as the specific individual or politician who is involved. So in the past, it was the case, especially when you were talking about, say, incumbent members of Congress, national parties would sort of assume that politics was local and they would leave it to the local jurisdictions to decide whether or not to reelect that person in their primary and then whether or not that person should stand and win for reelection in the general. In today's world, we see speakers of the House pressuring members of Congress who have had transgressions to retire or resign. We saw many of those in the 115th Congress at the height of the Me Too movement. And then what we also see are sort of more of these statements from people like Senator Schumer, from President Biden, urging these individuals to essentially stop being the story about their political party. But it is also the case we have seen more and more individuals who are embattled, who are embroiled in these scandals, saying that they don't want to step down and that they don't want to run for office. So some of this has become just more nationalized, but also more contentious and more of a fight about who is protecting the party than in the past.
We're talking about sexual harassment claims facing politicians. What makes some leaders step down and others hang on to power? This week, the big story, Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York, and a report from the attorney general of that state documenting a lot of accusations of sexual harassment and corroboration of those claims. Lara Brown is with us, associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the Andrew Cuomo allegations? Do you want to see him resign? If he doesn't, should he be impeached? And do you want to bring up other situations where prominent political figures have faced accusations of sexual harassment or assault, or even where cases of consensual extramarital affairs may have affected a politician's career? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about sexual harassment in politics. A report released this week by the New York Attorney General says Governor Andrew Cuomo harassed 11 women and created a hostile work environment for women, allegations Cuomo has denied. He's under pressure, including from President Biden and many other fellow Democrats, to step down. Cuomo, the latest in a long list of political figures facing accusations of sexual harassment. Lara Brown stays with us, associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University, author of multiple books, including Amateur Hour, Presidential Character, and The Question of Leadership. Political scandals are one of her areas of expertise. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on this particular case, Governor Cuomo? Should he resign from office? Or do you have a past case that you'd want to bring up? Do you have a question about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lara, are there cases in the past where we've seen politicians dig in comparable situations and come through politically unscathed?
Well, this is where it's very interesting because the nature of the scandal and the type of media coverage, kind of how big is it and how broad is it, really do matter. So we can think about the fact that in 2018, there were, in fact, two members of Congress, Duncan Hunter Jr. and Chris Collins, who were, in fact, indicted for financial scandals. They were seen as essentially misusing funds or using their influence to help to create basically conflicts of interest. And what is so interesting is both of them chose to run for re-election. Both of them won. And what is even more fascinating is that when they eventually did leave Congress, as President Trump was leaving office, he chose to pardon them for their scandals. So financial scandals have very different kinds of dimensions to them. And politicians are much more often able to get away with any kind of financial scandals rather than, in fact, sexual misconduct scandals. And certainly when it comes to sexual harassment, it's even more difficult.
You mentioned earlier the Me Too movement that came out of cases in the entertainment industry, a wave of accusations of members of Congress leading to resignations. Was that a blip? Or did Me Too, do you think, mark a permanent or ongoing change in the world of politics?
I think what's important is that the Me Too movement made a change in all of the workplaces more generally. So it is true that my colleague and I recently investigated the 2018 congressional midterm cycle to see if there really was a significant statistical difference between that year and other years We did not find a statistical difference, but we did note, and we do talk about the fact that there is kind of a different workplace culture. There is a different expectation, and that there has been kind of a sea change in how members of Congress, at least, appear to be behaving toward their staff. It would seem that Governor Cuomo did not learn that lesson, that the times have changed, and that this is not just a generational issue.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Diane is with us in Madison. Diane, hello.
Hi there. So Donald Trump, what about him? He didn't have any morals. He had lots of allegations and some proven ones. Nothing happened to him. He set the moral compass down onto the ground.
Diane, thanks for the call. A lot of people have pointed toward that example, Laura.
And look, I would agree that he is the model for a politician denying any wrongdoing and sticking it out and saying to his political party, stay with me or not. And the reality is that the Republican Party is what allowed President Trump to survive his many scandals. Had the Republican Party turned on him, I don't know that he would have been in the place that he was. But we are in a situation that's very different with Governor Cuomo. You can see that the Democrats are saying it is time for Governor Cuomo to go. He is not fit to represent the public any longer. And I do think that this is a difference right now between the two political parties in their stance toward misconduct.
Thanks for the call, Diane. We'll go now to Keith on the line in Madison. Keith, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering whether the Democrat Party's love affair with Bill Clinton helped him stay in power and retain pretty much a huge amount of goodwill even after his impeachment. And I'm thinking that maybe Governor Cuomo, as you suggested, didn't learn the right lesson and thinks he's another Bill Clinton, which he clearly is not.
Keith, thanks for the call. And another example I think a lot of people are pointing to these days.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton is a little bit different in that his popularity actually went up during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Many people, not just the Democratic Party, but in fact, the public, forgave him for what they saw as a consensual extramarital affair. And I don't think that that is all that surprising in that Americans also voted for Bill Clinton after Jennifer Flowers and that extramarital affair had been revealed. So I do think what is true of Bill Clinton was also true of Donald Trump, that their behavior before they were in the White House helped to also inoculate them for bad behavior when they were in the White House, because expectations really do set the stage for scandal.
Do you think, thanks for that call, do you think people have thought back on that, the Clinton, especially the Monica Lewinsky situation, and thought, okay, maybe consensual, but this older seasoned politician, a young, brand new intern, a big power imbalance there, it's more creepifying now the more you think about it down the road.
Yes, I do think that many more people, including many Democrats who defended Bill Clinton at the time, in the wake of the Me Too movement, have rethought how they looked at that. I think that this is also the case, when you think about Anita Hill. I mean, it has been really since 1991 and her testimony against then Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas that brought these issues of sexual harassment and a toxic and hostile work environment to light. And the truth is, it has now taken 30 years for these changes, I think, to become really kind of the new workplace norm, that this kind of behavior is unacceptable.
Time for one more caller at least. Tim is with us now in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi. So I'm part of a growing group of ethically non-monogamous people, particularly younger people. I'm actually in my mid-30s, so at the older range of a lot of this. And I'd like to run for office someday. But when people act in such a repugnant manner and are unethical about what they're doing, it just sours everyone about scandal. If they wanted scandal and I ran, I'd be full of scandal, but I'd be not scandalized by it.
Tim, thanks for the call. And I think that gets to, I mean, consensual non-monogamy has foiled presidential campaigns. I'm thinking Gary Hart here. Non-consensual behavior by Andrew Cuomo, it's still a question mark what it's going to do to him.
So let me just say that I think this is what I mean by expectations really matter. You know, I wrote my dissertation on scandals among incumbent members of the House of Representatives. And what was so clear was that, you know, at that time, essentially, and this was in the 80s and 90s that my data set sort of covered, it was really the Republicans who were more in trouble for sexual misconduct scandals, and Democrats who were more in trouble for financial misconduct scandals. And so I talked about that as really being an issue of hypocrisy, right? That the electorate was not pleased with Republicans talking about family values and then having extramarital affairs. They were not pleased with Democrats talking about helping the poor and then embezzling money. So it's really an issue of who are you and what do you say you are? And then the question is, what secret are you keeping? And if that secret is revealed, will it change the way we think about you and what your reputation is?
And that's where we'll leave it, Lara. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Lara Brown is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. We talked to her about sexual harassment claims against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and growing calls for him to resign. Coming up after the news, we'll talk about some of the fun things to see and do in Wisconsin this month before kids go back to school. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up tomorrow at 8 on The Morning Show, find out how to take care of your lungs in the midst of allergy season and wildfire smoke. That's tomorrow morning at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Now, you might not want to think about it too much, but for a lot of students in Wisconsin, the start of the school year is less than a month away. So before you get too caught up in back-to-school shopping and whatever else you need to do to get your kids ready to hit the books, try to squeeze in some time to enjoy what's left of summer. Our next guest says August in Wisconsin has a lot to offer. For starters, after being canceled because of the pandemic last year, the State Fair is back. It kicks off today. Get me a cream puff while you're there or something deep fried on a stick. If you're a little nervous still about being around crowds, Wisconsin has 66 state parks and recreation areas, a lot of water and bike trails and towns and cities too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you like to spend your summer days in Wisconsin? What are you still hoping to do before summer comes to an end? Are you going to check out the state fair, a live music event, a Brewers game, or get to a park or off the beaten path somewhere? Or do you need a recommendation from our guest? He'll have one. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Gary Knowles is a Madison-based travel writer and past president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, it's always great to be here with you, Rob. And I just wanted to say, you know, you got started on the right angle here today when you started talking about food, because one of the things I was looking at my list here, one of the things that I would like to do this weekend, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up there, get to Sheboygan where they're having their annual Brat Friday. The Johnsonville Brat Days are going to be up there. And, you know, Sheboygan County is known for brats because there have been so many German brat makers there that really do good ones. And Johnsonville right now, I think, is probably nationwide. I've seen it in places all over the country, but the Johnsonville brats are great and be a good weekend to go up there. They're going to have brats in virtually everything. Brat tacos, brat pizza, brat corn dogs, and brat jambalaya, they say, among other things, and a brat eating contest. I don't think I'll participate in that. I've seen some pictures of it.
I'll pull for you, Gary, if you get into that one. I've heard good things about Sheboygan roast beef sandwiches, too. Do you like to incorporate food into your travel around the state? Is that usually a plan?
Well, you know, it is. I mean, you've got to eat, don't you? And Wisconsin is you've got to eat. Wisconsin is a great place to be. I was just looking at a list of some other things that I had here that you want to eat if you're in Wisconsin. And recently I had an opportunity to go over through Gay's Mills, and it's almost time for apples over there. They're hanging on the branches like crazy. And if you're looking for an incredible drive, Highway 171 from Highway 61 over into Gay's Mills, it is just outstanding. Some incredible views. And the apples are going to be out pretty soon as well, so that'll be good. And they have other produce is available as well, so you can catch apples there. And also, of course, Bayfield is known for apples. And so if you're going to go way up in the northern part of the state, they have great apples up there. And if I'm not mistaken, early August is still probably great blueberry season up there, and you can go pick your own blueberries. The one word of warning I would have is once you start picking them, you pick a lot, and before you know it, you've got a whole box full of them. So it's really a lot of fun and a good thing to do.
Well, they freeze real good, I know. I actually just froze some blueberries.
You're absolutely right. they freeze good, and my wife May knows how to make Martha Stewart's great pancakes and puts them in there, and they are just outstanding. So I've got to say that, blueberry is one of my favorite. And, you know, just I could go on with a big list here.
Well, Gary, hold on. Eating. What if I find myself in the mood for some kind of cream puff? Am I going to be able to pick one of those up somewhere, anywhere in Wisconsin in the next few days?
I hope that you know that you can go to the Milwaukee area and go to the Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis and probably cream puff yourself right to the point of overload. But the cream puffs there are excellent, and you can get them again. And like you had said, I think, in your introduction, it's a great place to go and eat. As of right now, as I understand it, masks are not required at the moment. It's a lot of outdoor activity over there. And cream puffs, yeah, boy, you can certainly get them there. I think you can probably pick some up down in Monroe as well, which is a big dairy, of course, dairy center for Wisconsin. And I would check it out down there at the bakeries because, cream puffs go with everything, don't they?
It's Food Friday. Oh, no, wait, it's only Thursday. It's a talk with Gary Knowles with lots of great travel advice, things big and small to do around Wisconsin, especially in this last month of summer. You can call in at 800-642-1234. Where do you like to go in the state? What do you like to do this time of year? Do you want to make a plug for something in your neck of the woods? Or do you need advice from Gary? You're going somewhere and you want to know what to see, what to eat while you're there. Gary probably knows. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Gary, I don't think I'm going to get up there this year, but I've always loved being on Lake Superior in August from my earlier days in Michigan in the UP, or I've been up to the Apostle Islands, Madeline Island. Talk about the joy of Lake Superior shoreline in August.
It is just, it's fabulous anytime you're up there, as you know, Rob. And especially this time of the year, it's not quite to the changing of the leaves yet. But I was up there, actually, I was up there early in July and took the Apostle Islands Grand Cruise, they call it. It's the one that goes out among all the islands, and you get to see a lot of the lighthouses. And if the weather is right, you get up really close to the caves out there. We went up to the tour and did the caves up at Devil's Island. And boy, that, it was just fabulous being up there. The weather was great, and the weather has been pretty great up there for the most part. And if you do that cruise, you get to see, I want to say it's like 16 of the 22 Apostle Islands. And, of course, Madeline Island, you can go to just by cruising over on the Madeline Island ferry. And if you're going to do that, my recommendation is go down to the beach at actually the town park. I'd recommend the town park and Big Bay State Park, of course. They have a huge white sand beach that goes all the way along the coast there. And it's just a great place to go and do what I did, and that's sit there and do nothing. And it's just great to sometimes not have anything you need to do. Cell phone service is a little spotty, and so nobody's going to track you down. And it's beautiful watching occasionally a sailboat or two go by.
I love swimming in Lake Superior in August. It's only brutally cold.
That's
survivable.
It's a test.
Exactly.
it will test your mettle, put it like that.
Exactly.
And but quite honestly, in the bay in Big Bay Park and a few of the other bays, the water doesn't turn over so much. Mm-hmm. So it really is not as awful as jumping in the middle of Lake Superior, where you might last for about 3 minutes.
Hey, let's bring on our callers at 800-642-1234. Pat is with us in West Bend. Pat, hi.
Hi.
Hey, Pat.
Hi. We're heading to Sparta later this month. And, of course, I know about the bike trails and fishing and all that sort of thing. We're looking for other ideas for outdoor things to do, places to eat in the Sparta area and even down into La Crosse.
Boy, you're in a good spot over there. La Crosse especially has got some nice diners that are downtown. And I don't have my list of them right in front of me here, but I would recommend that before you go, just call to the La Crosse Area Tourism Bureau over there and have them send you, or go online and look at their guidebook, because there are some really good places to eat downtown. And over in Onalaska, there are a few neat places as well. And, you can check them both out at the same spot. And Sparta, yeah, you're right. Sparta is a good place to go. They've got some neat little gift shops there. And as I recall, a neat diner downtown, again, whose name I don't have right in front of me, so I can't give it to you. But you've chosen a good place to go. And if you chose to get off your bike and get in the car, there are just some beautiful roads around there as well.
Pat, thanks a lot for that call. And that reminds me, some years back, I did an interview with someone from Leon, just 4 miles from Sparta, about the annual Gator Fest. And that's coming up August 27, 28, and 29. And I remember they have a standstill parade. The town's too small to march the parade, so the exhibits, they stand still and you walk past it. So that's how their parade works there. So if you're going there at the end of the month, Pat, check out Leon. Let's go to Mike now in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
What'd you want to bring up, Mike?
So last year when my wife and I got a little too much cabin fever being cooped up, we would take drives in the country. And on one of our drives, we came across this little beat-up brown and yellow sign that said Rustic Roads. And I got looking at it, and the state has a whole – there's a website you can find that's run by the state of Wisconsin that provides maps of all these incredibly beautiful country roads all over the state. And so we've taken on ourselves to explore all the ones in the Madison area within an hour or two drive from here, and we've never been disappointed.
Wow.
So I highly encourage people to do a web search for Wisconsin Rustic Roads, and the website's very comprehensive. It'll make it easy for you to find these beautiful places in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right about those rustic roads. They're great. And the state actually has produced a book on rustic roads. If you want to get one and throw it in your glove box, it's a great idea. That way, as you're traveling the state, you can always kind of keep in mind, if you've got a little extra time, to dodge off onto one of them. But here's another tip for you. If you're in the Madison area and you just want to see some outstanding roads, you could do a lot worse than to just head out to the south and west of here. There are, take one of the lettered roads. If you go out on Highway 14, K and H both go south off of Highway 14, and they will take you through some spectacular country. And you'll get down toward Blue Mounds and down into Mount Horeb area. It is just wonderful to go down to that area. And you can do things like, of course, visit Mount Horeb, which is known as the troll capital of Wisconsin. They have trolls all over the city there, and some neat shops as well. And if you get a little south of there, take Highway K south of Mount Horeb, and you can stop down at the Botham Vineyards, and they're open, and we'll do a tasting for you, and you can sample some of their wines. But it's just an outstanding, spectacular place to go sit on their patio and sip some wine. A great place to be. You're in a good place if you like to drive the back roads.
Mike, thanks for that call. We're talking to state travel expert Gary Knowles with some suggestions for the last month of summer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a favorite place to go or thing to do this time of year in the state, or you need some suggestions for your part of the state or a part that you're traveling to, 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll take more of your calls coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about fun things to see and do in Wisconsin this summer, looking at some of the music, food, cultural events, and more. Gary Knowles is with us, Madison-based travel writer, author of the Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a suggestion or need a suggestion. Back to your calls now. Eric is with us in Lake Tomahawk. Eric, hi.
Well, hi there. I just wanted to shout out for our town's major event is the snowshoe baseball. You got to have it. You got to see it. Their season's just about over, so hurry up.
Okay, now tell me about snowshoe baseball.
Yeah, good luck. It's usually alcohol induced, but uh-huh. They have actual teams. They have an actual league. And they play on sawdust and they wear snowshoes. And they seriously, awesome. Honest to God, I can't believe you guys have never heard of this.
I have heard of this, Eric, and I'm sure you have, Gary.
Yeah, I've heard of it, and my guess is that it's a game that was invented by chiropractors because, you know, as you know, it's a little easy to get your knee turned around running in snowshoes in snow, much less on sawdust. So, but it really is a sport up there, and those guys like it, and they're pretty good at it too. I'll say that. I would not go up there and challenge any of them to a run in snowshoes.
Eric, thanks a lot for the suggestion. Be careful out there, though. We'll go now to Debbie in Boscobel. Debbie, hello.
Hi, how are we doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Debbie?
Hi. I guess talking about, you know, all the little county roads and beautiful roads that we all travel. My husband and I always have what it's called the Atlas and Gazetteer of Wisconsin. And it is a map book. It's got every back road, lists family outings, boat ramps, campgrounds, places to explore for the entire state. And it is a must-have in every vehicle if you're going to be out and about.
Debbie, thanks a lot for the call.
Second your recommendation, yep.
Yeah, that's something, Gary, that's harder to pull off if you're using your phone map app, right? That'll get you where you're going, but it doesn't tell you what you're missing on the way.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing about it is sitting there with a printed map, a big thing that you can look at, you can kind of get a big picture idea of what's around you. And you know, so if you're going to take Highway X and go over to Highway 61 from it, where are you going to go from there? Well, if you have the map in front of you, you can say, well, yeah, okay, we'll head up to Soldier's Grove, or we'll get out to some other place from there. And to me, I guess I grew up with paper and reading maps that way. And I can still read them on my Google Maps on my phone, but it just isn't the same. You know, having that big map spread out in front of you gives you all kinds of ideas.
Debbie, thanks a lot for the suggestion. We're talking about great summer travel tips with Gary Knowles. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Mark is with us in Mineral Point. Mark, hi.
Yeah, hi. So we're headed up to the Northwoods. We're going to be spending some time in Wausau and then on up to Manitowish Waters and Boulder Junction. And I'm interested in suggestions for little known and underrated hiking trails, canoeing places, and restaurants, and maybe like art galleries, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of things you're asking for there, and good things to go for up there. There really are a lot of good artists up in that part of the state. They recently just had a art tour through Northeast Wisconsin, and if you stop at, I would stop at the Minocqua Chamber of Commerce as you're driving up that way, and ask them if they have the list of the summer art tour people that were participating, because there are a number of galleries and artists who are kind of in the backwoods up there that I think you'd probably enjoy seeing their work and seeing their stuff up there. If you're looking for a couple of places to eat, I would suggest the Norwood Pines in Minocqua is a very historic and excellent place, supper club that you can get to there. And there are a couple of places up in Boulder Junction as well that have got great reputations. And I would check with the Boulder Junction people and ask them the name of the big restaurant there escapes me at the moment, but it's a wonderful restaurant, and it's a fishing fish and steak kind of place that you really don't want to miss, a good supper club up there. But there are a lot of them up in that area. Eagle River has quite a few, and you're headed into the right direction.
Thanks for that call. Michelle Good, our technical director and former denizen of the North, says the Guides Inn. Is that
the
one we're thinking about? Yep.
It's the Guides Inn is exactly the place.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for that call, too. We'll go next to Rocky in Wautoma. Rocky, hi.
Hi, how are we doing today?
Good. What do you got for us, Rocky?
Well, I used to ride a motorcycle. When I did, I found out about a deal they have in Wisconsin. If you visit the rustic roads you were talking about, and
yep,
take a picture in front of the sign identifying the rustic road, you send it into the state, they will give you a motorcycle patch for your best or whatever.
And I think, Rocky, that they have a requirement. I'm not sure if you have to do 10 of them or something like that, but they also have a deal that I think if you do all of them, you get some reward as well. The State Department of Transportation, in conjunction with the Department of Tourism, puts out a book, and they've got a Rustic Roads book, which goes quickly every time they print it. But I would check with the Department of Tourism and see if they have any of those Rustic Road books left, because I think it's described in there how to get that badge you're talking about.
Rocky, thanks a lot for the suggestion for all of our motorcycle listeners. Gary, just a little bit of time left. So many callers. What else are you looking forward to? Leave us with one more thing to check out the rest of this
month. Oh, boy. One more
just
thing.
I'm going to go
see Willie Nelson and the Avett Brothers Saturday night. And it's outdoors. And between the Avett Brothers and Willie Nelson, I don't think you could ask for a better concert. And that's going to be at Bree Stevens Field here in Madison. It's going to be a good one. So, the other thing I would just say quickly is it's gallery night in Mineral Point, and we started with food. So let me end with saying, if you want to get a great pasty, you can go to Mineral Point and they'll have one, and you can eat a pasty as you walk around and check out the galleries.
I do like a good pasty. Gary, good to talk to you again.
Always good, Rob. You take care.
You too. That's Gary Knowles, Madison-based travel writer, past president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He joined us today to talk about fun things to see and do in Wisconsin these last few weeks before the school year begins. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, hey, let's stay with the food theme. It's Food Friday, and we'll learn how to bake with buckwheat and barley, rice and rye, and find out how we can make great breads and desserts and a lot more with a wide variety of grains, not just the white and wheat flour anymore. That and more tomorrow here on Central Time. We talked about retail shopping on the show yesterday and how the experience has changed in recent years, both pre and during the pandemic. And on the Ideas Network Facebook page, we asked you about your balance between in-person and online shopping. What do you buy online? What will you not? A lot of you answered with mostly what you won't buy online. Brian says, all my online shopping is just things that cannot be gotten within 30 miles. Pete says, when it comes to clothes, sizes are all different. I won't buy clothes online. Also, food or tools or hardware supplies when I'm working on a project. Well, yeah, you need that right away. Brandy says, like Pete, I prefer shopping for clothes in person or the things I need right now. Deborah says, I like to see something before I buy it. That said, for some items, Amazon is convenient from an old dog still willing to learn new tricks. How about shoes? MC says buying shoes online is risky. Sometimes you have to order multiple pairs to get a size variety, knowing you're only keeping one pair. If I find a comfortable sneaker, I've ordered the exact pair in another color online. James says shoes shouldn't really be bought online. Katie says I only buy things online if I can't get it in a store. Margaret says I won't buy clothing online. It never looks the same once you get it. The fit is always bad. Then if I don't get around to returning it on time, I've wasted my money. Clothing stores disappear, I'll just start shopping resale shops. You can still tell us your shopping story. What do you buy where on the Ideas Network Facebook page? This is Central Time.